Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyne.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Many romantic comedies geared towards audiences over 25 imagine the films of Nancy Meyers. It's complicated, something's gotta give, and others, romantic and escapist.
So viewers of all ages might appreciate the different, more realistic spin on the changing dynamics of marriage, love, and affairs that comprise the new film The Lovers, which opens today. The film stars Tracy Letts and Deborah Winger in her first leading role in two decades.
Film contributor Dave Lurson joined me in the studio to talk about The Lovers, which he found a true testament to the power of indie films.
How do you tell someone that it's over after decades of marriage, especially if part of you is still in love with your partner? That's the dilemma facing the characters played by Deborah Winger and Tracy Letts in The Lovers. The scenes from their crumbling marriage and the hide-and-seek bedroom shenanigans are handled with a comedic touch that doesn't negate the pain or exhilaration of infidelity and emotional separation. Winger and her rival, played by Melora Walters, are especially marvelous to watch as their eyes register distrust, anger, horror, and understanding.
The Lovers, written and directed by Azazel Jacobs. How does this compare to most romantic comedies? I mean, typically, if you have a romantic comedy about older couples, it's a Nancy Meyers film. Not that I don't enjoy them, but I was very happy that this wasn't a Nancy Meyers film.
Well, this wasn't a Hollywood type of film at all. You know, Azazel Jacobs sounds like a very interesting director. He has done several other indie films, which I don't think ever came to a screen in Milwaukee. And I don't know what the availability of them are, but I'm interested in looking into him now after having seen this movie. This movie, you know, does not go in any of the directions that a standard romantic comedy, whether about older people or not, would go to. It has this sort of messiness of reality to it, but done in such a way that, I mean, you can have a messiness of reality movie that's a messy movie. And those are kind of difficult to watch, I think. This movie is a very well-composed film about the messiness of reality, and I very much appreciated that. The characters in this film, and I think that the two women in this film are more interesting than the two men when it comes right down to it. There's a great depth there, a range of possible and conflicting emotional responses to the complicated kinds of situations that I would say most of us find ourselves in somehow or other at some point in life.
The affairs as well only seem to bring marginally more pleasure to the couple in the marriage compared to the marriage, you know, you can say they're trapped in or just kind of fallen into a rut. Do you think that this intends to show the complexities of marriage or just as a way to kind of show off the supporting characters? Because really they're very needy people.
Yeah, everybody in this movie is needing something, I guess. The rivals, I guess, or the married couples are troubled people in some ways, I think. The man that Deborah Winger falls in with, played by Aiden Gillen of Game of Thrones, he's kind of a preening, self-regarding person. It comes out little by little. I mean, at first you kind of like the guy, I guess. Like, yeah, he's really devoted to her and deeply in love. I think he's deeply in love with himself more than anybody else. As far as the Melora Walters character, she is definitely a drama queen, very neurotic, very insecure. And the Tracy Letts character, the husband, is an ineffectual, kind of bumbling guy who's sort of just fallen into place in life. One imagines, and again, I like this about the movie, it doesn't spell out everything. You kind of imagine that Melora Walters put the move on him because he probably would never think of doing anything on his own, most likely. But again, the movie doesn't tell us this. It allows us the space to imagine the backstories and the futures even of the characters in the film.
Right. And do you think that's a strength or a weakness for that and overall in the screenplay to have no background on the characters, to not really understand how the married couple met and got together? And we see a lot of discontent with their son, who's been used to them not liking each other for a very long time. But we kind of have to make our own assumptions or conclusions.
I think it's a strong point in this movie. I mean, there are movies with very patchy screenplays where you can tell that basically was either an incompetent committee of people that wrote the movie, and they don't really know what they want to say, or they have contradictory ideas, and it just doesn't come out. This is not a case of that at all. This is a case of we're presenting, you know, a group of people here in the particular moment of time, and we don't really need to spell it all out. How did they get here exactly? Where are they going to go? Leaving it in some way to the viewer to think about these things and imagine these things. I think this works in part, too, because of the performances of the cast, of the actors, who seem like fully developed real people and not just a cardboard or two-dimensional character who's memorized lines and is going through a rote kind of three-act typical Hollywood screenplay.
Right. And on that note, Deborah Winger, she hasn't been seen in a leading role for over 20 years, and I think she really carried this film. And, if, you know, what did you think of her performance overall?
Well, I always liked her. She was kind of the stick-in-the-eye character in a lot of movies back in the 1980s, I suppose. Why did she disappear? I think there still is kind of a problem with women finding good roles as they get older. They are often consigned to these sort of harridan kind of like the cranky mother or mother-in-law or some character of this kind. Again, all the stereotypes are avoided in this film. It's I hope a great comeback for her. She was one of the great talents of the 80s, and it's been a shame that she has not found good roles lately.
Well, and that's another strong point of this independent film is, yes, it's an older cast, it's older characters, but that doesn't dismiss that everyone has needs and wants to be fulfilled in various ways.
Right. I mean, again, Hollywood has a tendency to focus on whatever teenage and early 20s kind of audience or a mentality associated with that at times. Older people have not necessarily been well served. By older, I'm not talking about people in their 80s or 70s even, but maybe people over the age of 30 after a point or 35.
Yeah.
you know, this is one of the great benefits of the indie film movement. There are plenty of very mediocre indie movies that have been made in the past quarter century, but the best of them, and even some of the B-minus kind of indie movies, do achieve something. They tell stories about people or groups of people who are otherwise ignored by the entertainment industry.
And with Deborah's character, I was reading some other reviews, and this one from the New York Times, you know, claims that, you know, there's a self-sabotaging desperation that you can sense in her that she's kind of straining to vocalize, you know, and maybe that it isn't love that the two main characters, Mary and Michael, are seeking, but what really thrills them is the whole sneaking around aspect, first against each other, but mm-hmm. then having an affair with one another against their partners.
I think that's true, and it's part of the complexity of the film. And we, again, it's not spelled out. It's implied. It's a mm-hmm. possibility. We can't know entirely what the characters are feeling, and they themselves probably don't know or are not conscious of it either. Another thing about the movie that I like, and it's a sideways glance, is the banality of workplace culture in contemporary society. The cubicles, the interminable meetings, the quiet scream that Tracy lets out at one point as he sits at his desk before his computer in this gray and beige cubicle. I mean, it is really kind of a emotionally debilitating way of life, 9 to 5, doing this. And also scheduling infidelity around your work schedule is interesting, too. I'll have a one-hour lunch. What can... Where can we meet? What can we accomplish during that time? Yeah, I think it's happening around us, you know, to a great extent, and the movie captures all of that.
Yeah, and perhaps the banality of workplace kind of morphs into Tracy Letts's character. What do you think of his performance? At times I thought some of his delivery was very staccato and blunted, but perhaps that's just kind of exemplifying the normal, banal, suburban mm-hmm. character he was portraying.
Well, a man of quiet desperation. I mean, he was a musician in a band at one time. And again, here, you know, I imagined to myself, was Deborah Winger a fan of his band? Is that how they met? I don't know that they ever say exactly. But that's kind of an implication that I walked away with. So he at one time was a creative person probably, but he put his piano aside, using it as a shelf for plants. I mean, I think that says something right there, that he was kind of forced out of necessity to make a living, perhaps to support a family, to do a job that he probably has no interest in whatsoever. And, you know, he's suppressed a part of himself. And that's probably part of the damage, you know. He is kind of maybe to some extent a damaged or diminished human being because of the choices he felt he was forced to make.
Well, and their marriage has obviously diminished in the beginning, up to the point where they reignite with an affair with each other. But what do you think of Tracy Letts and Deborah Winger's chemistry overall, both in the terrible suburban awkwardness that, you know, you're together, but you're alone at the same time, you know, the scene of them drinking wine at the couch. And, you know, it's almost as if they're drinking alone. You could cut the other person out of the screen and the demeanors would be the same.
Well, I think that that is, frankly, a danger of long-term relations. It doesn't have to be that way, but it sometimes is. It is also interesting to me that they were able to kind of find each other, rediscover each other again at times. So could I guess I have to avoid spoiler alerts here, you know, kind of thing, but could their marriage still work? Or is it going to be derailed by random events, unexpected twists and turns, the intervention and the pull of other people toward one thing or another? I don't know. I think that maybe the moral of the story, in a way, is that if you want a relationship to work, you have to work at it and can't just become passive and go into yourself and fall into a routine and take the other person's presence in your life for granted.
Another thing that kind of juxtaposes the banality of the suburban setting and some of the story in the beginning as it's developing is the musical score. There's lots of violin swelling orchestra. Do you think this added to it, or was it kind of imposing on what should have been played out?
I found that to be very interesting because in a typical Hollywood movie, this romantic score would have been running through the whole thing practically. Here in this movie, it's almost like it was another character who butted into some of the scenes. Was it intended as an ironic touch, maybe? I'm not sure, but this kind of melodramatic music was not used and not employed in the same way that a typical Hollywood director would have done. So, yeah, I'd be very interested if I ever have a chance to talk to Azazel Jacobs, what he was thinking of with that.
Now, and this is also not our typical Hollywood romantic comedy because those are often very predictable and we won't spoil anything, but it leaves it with some ambiguity, maybe an ending that we wouldn't quite have expected based on the turns that happen in the middle. Do you think this is a good thing? Like, did you still leave this movie satisfied with what you saw?
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't think that there's ever going to be The Lovers 2 or anything like this, but there, in a way there could be a sequel to it in the same sense that life continues. I mean, all the four major characters in this film have well-developed lives established in the screenplay and in the acting of the people playing the characters. And again, one can go in your own imagination and think, well, 6 months from now, what would they be doing? Would they be happy in the situations they find themselves in? Would they still be searching for something else? Will the combinations of people alter once again? You know, it's all very possible because it's human emotions can be a very unstable element.
Do you think this movie will be successful overall?
I don't think it's going to be a blockbuster box office-wise, but I think that there is an audience for it. I think that this movie will gain recognition and respect for its director. I hope that word gets out and that people go to see it in sufficient number. And I don't think it's a movie only for people over the age of 50 or whatever the demographic would be for it, because I think that there are some younger characters who are also very realistic as I saw them. And the kind of situation that happened here could happen to much younger people also, and it has. I know this from my own experience. I mean, you don't have to be married for 25 years. You could be in a relationship for 1 year and some of these things could happen too.
Definitely. But overall, we'd encourage people to see this.
Very much so.
All right, Dave. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Dave Lurson is arts and entertainment editor at the Shepherd Express newspaper and a regular film contributor to Lake Effect.